Welcome to Dollars and Cents, the program that tries to help your dollars make a little more sense. Dollars and Cents is sponsored by CEFQ, not a bank better. Today we have two guests. Diane Hahn will be along to tell us about the Mackinac Valley Vineyard. But first, Charles Miner is here. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, Mr. Moore. Thanks for having me this morning.
Whenever I talk to you, we usually talk for, what, about a half hour before we do the interview?
Always.
And then about a half hour afterwards.
Yes, sir.
Right? So let's continue our discussion. Okay. But we're here to talk about It's Minor Things. You have a grand opening, a new business that you're opening. But before we get into that, we need to talk about the concept of African-American business, because the last time we talked on the air, you and I were talking about the pop-up shops and the importance of the community supporting entrepreneurs. And I just wanted to continue that conversation before we get into specifically congratulating you on your business that you're opening, because we've witnessed an increase in the number of people who are going into business for themselves. I think COVID year, if there's anything good that came out of it, it's probably that people had an opportunity to sit and think about their dreams and how to make them real, maybe spent a little of their stimulus money to invest in some products and in their business model. And so we're witnessing that. So let's continue that discussion. Because we didn't really get to answer the question, how important is it for the community to rally around Black entrepreneurs?
Thank you, Mr. Moore. That was a deep question, and I kind of processed that. And what really made me even think more about that whole process was that whole thing from out in Oklahoma and the importance of, at one point, how we had our own everything.
Black Wall Street.
Black Wall Street.
Tulsa.
Yes, in Tulsa. And I think for people of color through this pandemic, people have really had, they couldn't go anywhere. So I think they sat in their homes and they start processing a new way how to live for themselves. And what can they do for themselves? You know, we spend a lot of time in working for other people and continuing and growing their wealth. But how do we figure out how to grow our wealth? And a lot of times, Mr. Moore, we make money be our reasons for not doing things. And we'll never have the money.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, we say, well, I want to open a business, but I don't have any money to get it started. Well, everything doesn't have to start in brick and mortar. And I think a lot of our businesses started from in their house. I think about the guy, I think, in Chillicothe who did the cheesecakes and stuff like that, how he started from
Harold
in his
Webster.
Home. Yes, sir. And there's others, the popcorn. I mean, the list goes on. So I think it's important for anyone that can hear this morning, if you have a plan, you know, start it out. Put your dream down. Just try it. It's like a test taster. You know, put it out there. Get people to start seeing it. Do all your research. Don't let anyone break your dream or say it won't work. Don't worry if someone else is selling popcorn. You still sell your popcorn. People will buy what they like. And so I would say, sit back, observe, fine-tune your product. And you do that by constantly getting out in the community. And it also would teach you people skills.
All right. Now, that's on the entrepreneurial side,
yes.
Advice for entrepreneurs. From the community side, in terms of the importance of the community supporting entrepreneurs, speak to that.
Yes, and the community is huge for us, and we have to get the community, I feel, being out there, Mr. Moore, the community want to feel they can trust you. Sometimes we have such broken trust and in our businesses with the community. Well, you know, we can't buy in the bulk that most big box stores do. That's a big thing. We just can't do that. But it's important for the community to buy from us.
Yeah, let me interrupt real quick and just give you an example or a visual for the people out there who are listening. So let's say you go to a big store, Walmart or whatever, and you want to buy some scented candles.
Okay,
and you look, and there's a whole row.
Yes, sir.
You know, shelves full of scented candles.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
Vanilla, lavender, whatever. You name it. Different shapes, sizes. You know, it's all there, right? That company, can, as you say, can buy in bulk, en masse, because they're supplying stores all over the world.
That's correct. That's right? Correct. Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, you got the sister locally who's making scented candles. Mm-hmm. All right. And she's got Egyptian musk, and she's got vanilla, and she's got some other stuff. And she's, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, when you go and you see her at a pop-up shop or she's got an operation somewhere, she may not have as many and as many sizes or varieties or this kind of thing. But what you're saying is that if we support her, the difference is that those dollars that we spend with her are going to be recycled in our community.
That's exactly, Mr. Moore, what I'm saying. It is very important for all your listeners to know, if the lady has candles, if a gentleman is selling T-shirts, or whatever the case might be, those dollars will go back into our community. And not only that, listeners, we're growing our next generation of kids to know the importance in shopping in your own community. I would love at some point to see when you go to a gas station, you see someone that owned it and being there, they look like me. You know, so how do we do that? We have to start. The community has to trust us. We have to trust the community. The community has to really support us. Don't say, well, you're too high. Well, if you keep shopping with me, the prices will go down because I can get better deals. So it's important that you understand, and we need to know what the community really want. If something I do and you're dissatisfied, don't take me out there on social media. Come by and talk to me, because those things can be damaging and for the community. So we, you know, I hear about the stores, et cetera, that right now that we don't have. But so we need to figure out as a community, how do we start getting those things back? And community, you all have to help us and come support and help us make it grow. That's the only way it's going to happen, Mr. Moore.
Now let's do some real talk and get into the other side of business ownership in terms of being professional, mm-hmm. having good products, having good customer service. Because if you go into business, you can't be this, you know, mean, antisocial person when you greet your customers. If you go into business and you open at 10 o'clock, you can't be straggling in there at 10:15, 10:45, okay? If you own a business, you can't be having a price advertised at one amount, and then people come in and it's a different amount. Speak to me about that.
Yes, thank you. Well, that's a great question, Mr. Moore. For the business owners, as Mr. Moore said, you got to be professional. You got to look professional. I don't want to walk in your store and you're on your phone telling me to wait a minute. You know, and, you know, have your merchandise very presentable. It starts with you, business owners. You know, don't just say you don't have any prices on anything and try to do let's make a deal. You know, those type of things, because those things can be damaging. So if you don't really understand your business, seek help. There is a plethora of places that can teach you right here. You come and talk to Mr. and Mrs. Moore in their organization. They'll teach you. They'll give you all. And that's another thing. You know, when we have, you know, we complain about we don't have things, but can you really say you're supporting? You know, you should be able to come and support Mr. and Mrs. Moore with their business. That's huge for me just to be on the air this morning. These opportunities we wouldn't have if you didn't have people like what they're doing. So we got to support them. And don't always look for something for free, you know, because bills got to be paid.
Yeah, and that's on the customer side. That was going to be my next question. You know, so yes, from the business side, you want to be professional. From the customer's standpoint, when you go into an African-American business, there is this tendency to kind of lean into kinship, you know, like, hey, give me a break, or you're going to hook me up. You know, this kind of thing, right?
All the time. Mr. Moore, you on point this morning, because we will go into our black businesses, and the first thing that comes out of a customer's mouth, what kind of deal can I get? I know we about that. But you don't go to Walmart and do that. You either buy it or you don't. You know, but for whatever reason, we feel that comfortableness because, you know, we are the same or, you know, we both black, so you understand. No, I'm here for business, so I really don't understand. You know, so we need to come out of, I call that stinking thinking. So we need to come out of that mindset because if I give you a deal and I give this person a deal, eventually there's no deals because I'm not in business. So we really got to change community, how we think. So it's a collaborative thing. We got to put all these pieces like Play-Doh. You know, if it ain't right, you break it down and rebuild it. So we have to trust. We got to learn how to trust each other, you know, whether it's from the consumer or whether it's from the business owner. The business owners, there's a sense that you have to be able to for your customers to trust you with your goods and products, you know, and give them, you know, start small, give them fresh products, you know, be able to talk to them, you know, get in, go knock on doors and talk to Miss Ollie who's sitting on the front porch and talk to her about things. We got to get out there. Don't just say, look at me, see me with all I have, but you're not giving anything back to your community. So it's a community. It is a big effort all the way across the board, Mr. Moore.
Yeah. We're talking with Charles Miner about all things business this morning. And now we're going to get into the meat and potatoes of our discussion on the final end of this. And that is, It's Miner Things is the name of the business that you are opening. You have a grand opening at the end of this month. And yeah, we've watched you grow from the pop-up shops to now you have a storefront. Tell us about the journey.
Yes, this has been a long journey. It's actually, I started when I first came to Peoria about in 2011. I had a ladies' lingerie store off of Prospect. And it's funny because what Mr. Moore just said, we got to learn how to shop with us, you know. And one of my thoughts is always tell, just do a drive-by. Just come by and look. When I say a drive-by, I'm just saying come in and look. You know, I'm not asking you to purchase. I would like that. It's Miner Things was a concept my wife actually came up with. I can't take that credit. You know, we did all the pop-up shops. Of course, I'm always going to support the Moores. I've been to all of their events. And, you know, people would always ask you this question, where's your store is at? That's a huge question. So when we as small minority businesses get a business, keep that same concept that you asked us. Where is your brick and mortar? Now that we have brick and mortar, we need you to come support us. And that's huge out there. And not come through the door day one and asking me for a deal. A deal can come, but you need to continue to support me so I can get better pricing. Then you can get better deals. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so we're going to try this again. We will start our first phase on June 27th between 2 and 5. That's kind of what we call a soft opening. And then we're going to have our main ribbon opening on June 30th at 2 o'clock.
The location?
The location is 929 North Sheridan. It's in the Sunbeam. It's in the Sunbeam building. Again, it's 929 North Sheridan Road, Suite GB. It's right across, for those who might don't know what it's at, it's right across from the gas station there on Sheridan in Maine. Used to be a big bakery, I was told at one point. So that's where we're going to be at in there, and we're excited.
It's Miner Things, Women's Fashion Accessories Boutique. You're invited June 27th, which is Sunday. That's the soft opening at 2 o'clock at 929 North Sheridan Road, as Charles mentioned. And then the grand opening with the ribbon cutting will be Wednesday, June 30th, and that's from 11 to 2. At the same location. Give me some more contact information in case somebody wants to.
Yes, if you would like to just call me, you can call me at 309-222-3192, or you can email me for information at cgminer, and that's M-I-N-E-R, 4949@gmail.com. And just leave a message or type me something, and we'll make sure that we get back. And we want all to come out, not just women. Guys, come out too. You know, let's make this a community affair. And we going to have some soft refreshments for you, too. So we'll be able to wet your whistle and give you a little something to put in your belly as well. We just good conversation and just talk about it. This is important not only for its minor things, but for all other. If you are a business owner, come by. We can do some collaboration and talk about other things. So it's just not about us doing this grand opening, but it gives us a time as small minority business owners to talk about what's going on and to give feedback on what you think that could be better just from the business perspective. So those are the things that we want to implement. So this is a community family affair.
All right, Charles Minor, always a pleasure to talk to you. And this will conclude this part of our conversation, and when we get off the air, then you and I will we'll talk for another 30 minutes.
Yes. Right? And I would, yes, sir. And I just like my little closing, Mr. Moore. Thank you and your wife Denise for what you guys, you actually do, what you say, work with the community. And it is, I've heard other guests come on and say the same thing. If it wasn't for you guys, we couldn't do what we do because we wouldn't have the voice to get out there to do. So I thank you, brother.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Now to my conversation with Diane Hahn from the Mackinac Valley Vineyard. Mackinac Valley Vineyard is one of the places where you just have to experience it. When I look at your brochure, I see the word experience it, taste it, see it, touch it. But the main thing is experiencing it, right? Because it's more than just a winery. This is nature. It's the ambiance. It's everything.
It's a getaway, and that's what we want people to feel is when they, you know, and we're so the fun thing, I mean, we're about 30 minutes from where we're sitting. I mean, it's very close and easy to get to, but people come out there and you just see the stress melt off, and you know, you're out in the country, and the name Mackinac Valley Vineyard, until people have been there, they think it's a joke that we have a valley because it's Illinois and it's so flat, but we really do have a valley in that beautiful big view of the all the fields below us, and it's just very pretty in the skyline. So, you know, that's what we want people to do, is come out there, put their cares and their stress away, relax, bring some friends, or come by yourself. Maybe you need a little break. I don't know.
When did you get started?
So my husband, Paul, he unfortunately is no longer with us. He passed away 5 years ago, but he started the place out of a cornfield. And he had a unique skill set. He was a farmer and a construction person. So bought this cornfield and dug a lake and dug the foundation for the house and built a house. And at that time was in the early 90s, just a family home, and ran his, you know, construction business and did his farming. And then in the late 90s, about 1997, he decided to look at specialty crop growing and found grape growing. So he decided to do that and grow wine grapes and met people in the industry, which was in its very infancy back then. And they encouraged him to learn to make wine. So he was never afraid of anything. So he's okay. So he learned to make.
He just jumped right
in. Yes.
Okay, so, now wait, I got to interrupt. When I think of him jumping right in, I'm thinking of you and him jumping on the grapes with your bare feet.
We do a grape stomp.
You do a
I'm daring you to come out and do it. It's so much fun. We do that in September on the weekend of Labor Day weekend.
Really?
On Sunday afternoon. We've done it for years, and yeah, it's super fun. I have two big vats we put out, and and it's just stupid fun where people come and sign up that day, and a lot of people bring their kids. It's a lot of little children. And we just play silly music, and the audience claps and decides who wins, and I dress up as Lucy and MC it, and I'm pretty soft at judging, so usually everybody gets a prize of some sort, and I always have a big thing of candy for the kids that participate.
Oh, wow.
No, it's a fun day. That's a good time. So, yeah, we do a grape stomp, and we really stomp the grapes, and, yep, we have a hose. You can wash your feet off. You don't have to go home with yucky feet.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you got to wash your feet before you stomp the grapes, too.
Well, we don't use the grapes, and we put new grapes in throughout the day. So, and no one's really doing anything with it other than standing in it. So we're okay there. People ask me, though, are you going to use these for anything? And I'm like, no.
No.
I don't think so.
Yes. Tell me about the selection you had.
So we grow the French American hybrid grapes, and so not the famous grapes, but we have about 20 wines on the wine list currently. We also serve an assortment of beer, and we have soft drinks and bottled tea and water for non-drinkers. But we grow grapes that can tolerate our very cold climate here in Illinois. So instead of Chardonnay, we might have Chardonnay. Instead of Pinot Noir, we have Cori Noir and Baco Noir. But they're very nice grapes, and so some of them are blends of different grapes. Some of them are just single variety wines. So like one that comes to mind, Sauvignon Blanc is a white wine a lot of people are familiar with. We grow the hybrid Sauval Blanc. And it's very nice, crisp white wine. It's very similar to the hybrid. So, you know, the famous grapes that the Malbecs, the Cabernets, the Zinfandels, they would freeze to death in Illinois. They just aren't tough enough. So mm-hmm. We're all tough, Midwestern stockers.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah.
And when you talk about the experience and how this came about, so you had to learn the business also, because I'm listening to you and you sound like an expert.
Well, it's, you know, over the years you get good at anything if you do it enough. And Paul opened to the public in 2003, okay? And then we got married in 2006, and then we were running it together then from then on. And I did a lot of the business end. He really enjoyed the farming and winemaking aspects. And so we both shared all the responsibilities, as you do being a married couple and in business together. And then, but when he became ill, we had about 4 years to adjust, and I got to learn a lot more that he did. And fortunately for me, two of the kids, Carly and Eric, are involved in the business and helped take over a lot of responsibility as well.
Cool.
So we have 6 kids between us, and 2 of them are there full time, and the other 4, you know, if I get on the hotline and the bat phone and say, hey, I need you, they help. So they're a good group.
And when you were talking about events, if someone wanted to come out, so tell me about the different types of events that you've had out there or that you host.
Yeah. We're really big, almost park-like property. We're on 86 acres, and we have a nice lake. We have 2 lakes, one that's visible from the tasting room. But we have a lot of outdoor weddings. People can, that was purely accidental. Paul built a little stage gazebo kind of thing down by the lake, and people came to put music on, he loved music. And people said, hey, could we have our wedding down there? So it started the first year with a couple weddings, and then it's just snowballed. And we have, you know, on a good year, we have between 30 to even 50 weddings 1 year we did. I mean, just back-to-back, lots of weddings. And then because so many weddings started happening, we built a big pavilion building. And it's a neat, unique building because 3 of the walls completely can be opened up to the outdoor. So it's considered an outdoor space, which has been a blessing during this 2020. And 2 of them are glass doors. And so even if it's cooler and we have it closed in the fall, you still have the views and you still have the nice daylight, lighting mm-hmm. in there. So we do a lot of weddings and things. We've done several big corporate events. We do fundraisers. We've partnered with Easter Seals and MeTech and Special Olympics over the years. They do
MeTech did a bicycle.
A bicycle thing. That was fantastic. Cheryl is an amazing Cheryl organizer Boswell, and yes. her whole crew. She's one that always gives credit. They did that several times when she was in charge, and man, that was an ambitious thing, but it went very well, and it was, I think, good for them, and so we've done that.
I've been out there when...
I pretty much say yes to a lot of things. I'll try it, like someone says.
I get that feeling.
Yeah.
I was there, and there was a band out there.
Yes, yes.
And it was a lot of people in the band. And so you have a stage that has lights and everything?
Yeah, so we have down by the lake where the weddings are held in that gazebo, there's lighting down there, and then on Saturday nights, June through September, we have concerts every Saturday night, and they're all local. Well, I have a couple that aren't quote local, or maybe they started local and now they kind of tour, other areas, but they come back home and play. But that's every Saturday night. And then we have several Friday night concerts as well. Usually those are country music, like Brushville is real popular. They do Friday nights. And then we've got, 3 festivals that we do. So we did decide, in fact, I decided yesterday to do our international wine and music and beer festival. We're going to do that, and we're with some adjustments, of course, to keep things more spread out and more outside. But that'll be the end of this month over Memorial Day weekend. And then we do an art festival that is very fun. There's no admission to come to that. Most of these things do have a small admission fee. But the art festival, we do have booths available, too. So if any of your listeners, we love to have our local artists come and showcase their talent. And if they're student artists, it's a $20 booth fee. It's only $40 for regular artists, which I've been told is pretty reasonable. And it's, again, it's in that pavilion building, which is nice. If they want to be inside there, they don't have to bring a booth. And it's, but we have the doors up, and it's all ventilated and nice for them.
And some people have gotten murdered at your place.
Well, but people pay to do that at our place. So as we're, you know, so we do have the murder mystery dinners. You're correct. And those are a lot of fun. We did have to back off those in 2020 because those are held in the tasting room. And so it's a little cozy and we didn't want to do that, but
you don't want to we're kill starting anybody in the,
no, we didn't,
with COVID.
Yeah. We didn't really want to do it. So right. Yeah. But, this October we're reviving those and we've got, our themes this, we're doing October, November and December this year. And we're doing murder at the Overlook Hotel in October over the weekend of Halloween, the 29th and 30th. And then Slay It Again, Sam is in November. And then we're doing A Christmas Gory, which is a spoof of The Christmas Story, in December. So that's a fun one. So
we want to remind our listeners, this is Dollars and Cents on WPNV. Dollars and Cents is sponsored by CEFQ, not a bank, better. And it's always a pleasure to talk to Diane Hahn. She is here, of course, representing Mackinac Valley Vineyard, the Hahn Family Winery, where they have some of everything going on. Central Illinois' oldest winery. And yes, they do stomp the grapes. You can come out and stomp them. They have concerts in the vineyard Saturdays, handcrafted wine made from their own vineyards, wine tastings, parties, reunions, banquets. And she encourages you to enjoy the view. You know, there's a quote from your late husband at the bottom of one of your brochures that says, "Welcome to my backyard."
Yeah, and that was always his opening line when he introduced the bands. And I still take a moment anytime I have a, you know, we're having an event and I introduce our band or whatever's going on. And I invite, you know, welcome everyone to our backyard from our family, which always, you know, we have always think of Paul. Because he just saw a cornfield and thought he could do something special with it. And he had a vision and it's taken shape. And we've been there 18 years. And we just hope people who haven't come out to enjoy it find some time this summer. And one nice thing, you can bring your, you know, we do sell some food and local, like local cheese and things. But you can bring your own food. Bring a picnic with you and just buy some drinks and just hang out and have an afternoon and you know, or come and enjoy one of the events. And on our website is all the information. So,
you know, I've known you for a little bit. And when you mentioned Cheryl Boswell with MeTech, and I know the Boswells, and with our city now going into a new era with Rita Ali as the mayor.
Isn't that exciting?
And we're looking at just making sure that everyone in the city feels welcome and that we cross-pollinate.
Yes.
And that we get to know each other more. And so you want people who may not have ventured out in their own circle and quarter and neighborhood to come out and experience this. You want to speak to that?
Yeah. You know, I agree with you. I think it's high time. And I think we've always tried to embrace that out there at the Vineyard of just being inclusive and just hoping that people come out and find some connection and find a place of peace and of rest and a place just to enjoy, you know, bring their old friends, but maybe make their new friends. I'm always feel heartwarmed when someone says, "Oh, I've never been here before, but I've heard good things," and they'll, you know, have a good afternoon. And one of the things I love too, like when we have the concerts, we are family friendly. So, you know, don't stay away because your kids are with you, you know, bring the kids. And I've had parents do that many times. They'll put a blanket down and the kids will bring a ball and toss a ball around and get some fresh air, and the parents can just relax and watch them and have a little visit. And but yeah, I think this, just the more we can do to bring people together, to find common things that we all enjoy, and who doesn't enjoy a day outside in the country and spending it, you know, just in a relaxing place. And so we want to embrace that and be part of that scene. Even though we're about 30 minutes from Peoria, we consider ourselves part of this community, very yeah. much so, and do a lot of things to hopefully support good times and good things going on in Peoria, too.
So, all right, so give me directions. If I'm on the south side of Peoria, how do I get there?
You just hop on the 74, and you head, head out, or maybe even the 474, but you head out and connect into the 74, and then once you're across the river, it'll split. And
74 east?
74, yes. So heading, yes. So you'll, when you cross the river, instead of heading off to Bloomington, you stay on the 74, and it connects to the 155 there in Morton. And that's kind of the connection. So it's really all highway. And then you get off on Route 9, which is the Tremont exit. And we do have highway signs. So you'll see a big, I think it's on the attractions sign. And then when you get off on Route 9, you'll head east on Route 9. And the very next town you'll pass through is Mackinac. And then 4 miles past that, heading toward Bloomington, the winery is right there on Route 9. And you can't miss it. We have a big sign and 8 acres of parking, so you can even park by yourself way far out.
Right.
But yeah, and the one thing too, if you do decide to come out for a band night or event, throw a blanket or some lawn chairs in your car, just because that's where a lot of people like to sit, is spread out on the lawn and around the lake and kind of get their own little group space going too. But we do have seating up on the decks if people want to call and reserve seats too and not bring a chair.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
And make sure you have a designated driver.
Thank
or
you,
if
yes.
you do drink a little bit, allow yourself some time and yeah. some coffee to sober up a bit.
Yes. And that's why we do sell some foods. But we encourage people to bring their own food. And, if they're going to be there, have it be a bit of a destination. You know, if you're coming out, come out, have some drinks, have some food, relax for several hours. And then, so you're not running in and out kind of a thing.
Right.
And be responsible. That's real important to us, that everybody have fun but get home safe too.
Give me some contact information, website, Facebook, phone number.
Yeah. So our website is easy. It's MackinacValleyVineyard.com. Our Facebook page is Mackinac Winery. And then our phone number is 309-359-9463, and that spells wine.
Repeat all of what you just
said. I will. Okay. So phone number, 309-359-9463 or 359-WINE. Okay. And then Mackinac Winery is our Facebook page, and MackinacValleyVineyard.com is our website. And upcoming events is where you can find all the things that are going on. But our wine list is there and several different, a lot of different pages on that website.
Cool. Diane Hahn, always a pleasure to talk
you
to
too,
you.
You too, Gary. Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
And you and I, just for those people who are listening and are curious, you and I are drinking water.
Yes, we are. Yes. Yeah, we're not on site today, are we?
No. But we should be one of these days. We should bring the show out there.
Yes. Well, there you go. Roadshow. Forget Antiques Roadshow. We want,
Thank
WPNV
you.
WPNV Roadshow.
Thanks, Diane.
Thank you.
Dollars and Cents is sponsored by CEFQ, not a bank better. Dollars and Cents airs at 9 a.m. on Saturday and is rebroadcast at 6:30 p.m. Sunday. Thanks again for listening. Money, 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 money. Money.